So we're in the first essay, and before we get started, again, reminder, there's a WhatsApp group if you want to get into more of a discussion. And I did hear from multiple people that people had questions and they were going to Jake about it. So
you can get on the WhatsApp group by text WhatsApping 917-626-8306.
Yes, and we'll put that. Anyone who wants and didn't get that number, please message Jake. He'll get you the number. But at the same time, like particular questions about content of the shiur, you know, Jake can put you in touch with me through the WhatsApp, or if you need to have a private, you know, a message, you can do that. Jake can help you out with that. But if you're going to ask particular questions to Jake, I mean, unless Jake really wants to answer them, it's up to him. But I don't know how much he'll be able to help you. Right, Jake?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, thank you for your patience. Also, remember that if anyone is struggling, I'm going to probably say this every year, if anyone is struggling with addiction, I have to say, like, please don't just rely on learning these sugyas. Addiction is a real issue. It's a real thing that people go through, and you need real professional help with it. It's extremely important that you're getting the professional help that you need. And, you know, obviously you can supplement with learning. You should always supplement with learning. Learning is going to be the ikar. It's how you're going to reveal your neshama. But also Hashem wants us to use professionals when we're going through a health situation. So please, please reach out to a therapist. You can reach out to me. I will be able to connect to you if you need, if you're comfortable reaching out to me, or reach out to your local Orthodox rabbi, or if you're already seeing a therapist, but they're not specializing in addiction, I recommend you talk to the therapist and find someone who does specialize in addiction. Also, this shir is, again, going to be Leila Nishmas, my father, Yitzchak Kadosh ben Hanan. May the Neshama have an Ali with the Torah we learned. So yesterday we talked about, very briefly, we talked about the damage that happens when we're involved in issues of Pagam HaBris, where we're not able to feel our relationship with Hashem. It dampens the relationship. And what happens is we try to taste a little bit of Shabbos, we can't. And I shared the story with the guy who fell in the pickles. And he lost his sense of feeling. It's what happens. And not only that, but what can happen is we feel that it's inside us, that we are, if we are Isaac in this Pagam Bris, we feel that we are nothing and we become numb within. And that's the trick of the Yetzirah, to trick us thinking that it's engraved, like the Zohar says, it feels like it's engraved on our bones, but it's not. It's just a sense. It's how the Yitzhar tricks us. We feel it, but it's not our essence. Our neshama is a chelik of the kamimali, is mali kedusha. You cannot be tarnished. You cannot ruin it. It's part of Hashem, which is Ein Sof. It can never be damaged. It's just layers that we cover on top. And Bez Hashem, with learning and with following the avoda that we're doing here, we'll be able to kind of reveal that and open it up. So now we're going to go into it's a little bit more heavy what we're going to go into, but on the bottom of page Zion, on the left-hand column, right, this is where we ended off, about why the tzaddik, and we're going to talk about, we know that it is the foundation. This is the foundation of Kedusha. And we're going to talk about how careful the tzaddikim were in this particular union. So, Oyd Amruzal, Shekol Aris Hadas, Emes V'Emuna Shel Ish Yehudi. Every Aris Hadas, every enlightenment. Any? I'm still on page Zion, all the way in the bottom, on the left-hand side. Sorry? Oh, actually, mine has a different, slightly different print than yours. Okay. That's weird. All right, I apologize. Slight little hiccup. We have a slightly different print. I'm going to use one of the other Sfarim and see if we can get back on track here. Oyd Amruzal. Okay. On the left-hand column on page Zion, if you go a little bit up, before that, the end of the paragraph, there's a, in the middle of the paragraph, it says Oyd Amruzal. You got it? Everyone, were everyone there? Yeah, mine is, I guess, an older print. I bought this, my original copy, about probably 18 years ago. That's been sitting in my house. I bought it where did I buy it, actually? It says, I still have the sticker on the back. It doesn't say where. It just says it was 18 shekel in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So, this is original print over here. All right. Let's dive in. Much we've been beating around the bush here a little bit. So let's jump into it. Every enlightening or enlightenment of our das, of MS and Amunah, of a yid, tolui b'midazu. If we're ever going to have any level of growth in the way we think, but also in a true way, in an Amunadika way, it's all tali in this mida ad kama shenizer shaloi lifkam chas v'shalom. And that's how careful you need to be to watch yourself from this pegam, chas v'shalom. The chasidim rishonim hayu loichamim al histaklus asur v'mesiris nefesh mamash. And the original chasidim, they would battle against looking at anything that was aser with mesiris nefesh mamash. They would mamash like literally put their own lives at risk. Kedin avizrayu degili arayis. Shehu biyar gal yavar. Right, there's different categories of, let's say, you know, the gimel averis chamuris, which you have to kill yourself for. You'd rather let you don't kill yourself, but rather let yourself die than commit. So then there's also something called avizrayu of those gimel chamuris. They're not the thing itself, but it's close to the thing. And when it comes to gilei rais, you're also required to be yarg va'al yavar, to let yourself be killed and then do them. Now, the Chassidim Rishonim would treat any little bit of this type of pgam, even just looking at someone, by accident on the street, as something they would be so careful about. Why? Because of what we just talked about. Like, if you want to have a relationship with somebody, you'll be very careful, right? If you have a meaningful relationship with someone, you're going to be very, very careful not to do anything to hurt that relationship. So you take steps to make sure that the other person is cared for. So the same thing over here, that, you know, a tzaddik that wants to have a real dynamic relationship with Hashem is going to make sure there's no barriers in between. And we just talked about this pagam more than anything else creates spiritual, physical, emotional barriers in the relationship with Hashem. So they would be very, very careful. And they would protect themselves from any type of hearer or any type of compulsion or you know, lustful compulsion that would come up, kegufa shalavera, as if it was they were actually doing the avera itself. Umarin Malekovich Amar, and the great tzaddik from Lekovich would say, the yisoid siyum of the gufa. That is pshat in what it says. Yisoid siyum of the gufa. Those of you who say Pesach Leo every single morning or once a week, there's different menhagim on how to say it. I believe the Naim Ali Melech said that you're supposed to say it every single day. I believe so, if I'm wrong, but many tzaddikim say it every day. It's a basically a portion of the Zohar that we, I don't know, I'm not so familiar. It's not my minhag to say it every day, but maybe one day it should be. But in there, we talk about Yisoid. Yisoid Siyum Adagufa. Yisoid is the finalization of the guf, or the completion of the guf. Lahasig midazu, bilti yitachin, elakasha oisim, soif latavis agufanim. That if you want to reach that high level of Yisoid, that Yisoid Siyum Adagufa, this connection, this intimate relationship with Hashem, you have to, without anything holding you back, you can only reach it by dealing by ending this taiva. So they took this very, very seriously. Well, Matzina Mechazal, we all got that, right? Matzina Mechazal. Well, Matzina Mechazal, Shehachmiru Ma'oid Ba'ovin Zeh. Chazal, we see they were very, very machmer on this. Kamoisha Amru Ba'asra, like it says about Ba'asra, Aperish Va'oitzim Enav Meroiz Barah, right? Where it says, Va'oitzim Enav Meroiz Barah, that the, let me jump ahead 1 second because I just caused this before, but then I got on the phone. Is that she'en mistakel b'nashem ha'im d'shalgvitzah? Right. So they would protect themselves. They would protect their eyes from seeing any kind of evil. Ze she'en mistakel, that they wouldn't even look b'nashem ha'im d'shalgvitzah. The Gemara says that when the women would go down to do the laundry by the riverbank, they were dressed tznius. We're not talking about inappropriate. They were dressed from women going down to the riverbank. They were They were dressed sneakily, but they would like a little edge of their fingers would be revealed. And if you were walking by it, right, you have to even be careful from seeing something like that. So you wouldn't even go near that, these tzaddikim. The kamar, hey, dummy, what are we talking about? Idi ika darcha achrina, rushu. That we lost this. All right. So if you had, like, you're walking, taking your walk, let's say to shul in the morning, right? And you had two ways to walk. You can walk by the area where they're going to wash clothing, even though probably you're not going to see anything inappropriate, right? Or you can walk the regular way, right? So the idi ika darcha achrina, rushu. I'm really sorry. There's something up with my internet connection. We will figure this out for tomorrow. I'm going to keep trying to keep connecting back in. So please bear with me. But this is also being recorded on another device. So, right, Lenny, it's still recording. Still has the numbers going. So this we'll still have the whole shield recorded. I apologize for the internet connection. That's something I'm going to work on for the future. So we're on the top page, Kess, already in your Tu'a Sadaf. Okay, let's jump back into it. I'm sorry for the it just interrupts the flow, and I apologize for that. So if there was another way to walk and you decide to walk near where the women are doing their washing, but there was another way to walk, you considered a rasha. This is about Basra, Operish Rashbam, and the Rashbam explains over there, Afa Pisha Hilich, the Ain Mistaka behead.
What daf?
Jake, you're good?
What daf is that?
It's on. Oh, what daf? It's Bava Basra Nun Zayin Amud Beis.
Thank
Bava
you.
Basra Nun Zayin Amud Beis. That if you, even if you're not looking, you're a tzaddik. I'm not looking, but it's just easier if I just walk straight. Even I know it's next to where the women are washing, but I'm just gonna walk. And I'm gonna make it through. I'm not gonna look. I'm a holy yid. If there was another way to walk, you're still considered a rasha according to Gemara, according to Rishbam. Kivan she'ena misrachik minachir. You're not distancing yourself from this ugliness, because you have the ability to distance and you didn't. It's not going to save you from being called a Russia. We don't find this in any other area. Like in other areas of Torah, like if you walk by a McDonald's and you smell the juicy cheeseburger, and you're like, I'm not going to eat it. It's like, okay, great, you did what you could, you did what you're supposed to, right? You're not getting punished. Like, I could have walked different ways. I could have found a way to walk past and not pass the McDonald's. It's like, no, like you walk by and you don't do it. Great. But something about this where we need to distance ourselves from it completely, even when we know we're not going to fall.
You're putting yourself in the sun.
Right. You're putting, and even though you're like, I'm not putting myself in the sun, I'm going to be fine.
You're still putting yourself in the sun.
Right, so right, it's still considered putting yourself in the sign, even though in your own head, right, and all your cheshbonis, you're like, I'm fine. Right, it's still putting yourself in the sign, and this particular nisayon has the ability to create such barriers between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we have to take extra precautions. And we talked earlier, like right in the beginning, he said that we're going to talk about inyanim of bris of shmiras habris on the chetaim that we know. Right, that are obvious, that someone is obviously breaking the bris, is obviously being involved in the chet bris, in the chet of their begamah bris, and also in the things that we don't know, there's sins that we don't know, and I think this is what this is referring to, where like in your head you know that you're going to be clean, in your mind you know that you're going to watch your eyes, you're going to be careful, you're going to do everything you're supposed to do, and you still. Right, you're still going to be considered a Russia because in your mind of minds, in your heart of hearts, we all know what the story is. And we talked yesterday, like when you're sitting on the bus and you see a woman over there, right? I'm not talking about someone who's doing anything inappropriate purposely, but your eyes getting attracted. You got to ask yourself, like, why? Like, what's going on? What's going on in my world that I'm getting pulled? I'm not even consciously trying to do it, but it's like my body's getting pulled. Right? I'm not doing anything wrong. She's not dressed inappropriately, but like, maybe I didn't get enough sleep. Maybe I'm not doing other areas of, we're going to talk a little bit later about like maybe some tips and tricks on like, maybe that your whole issue was just something completely physical. And when your mind is like stressed out, you'll end up resulting seeking dopamine in any which area, right? Or maybe there's something spiritual going on. It's probably a mixture of both on some level. But the point is.
So he may be thinking about them, but he's not letting them down. There's also something.
We didn't talk about that yet, but it could be. It could be there's a Maris Ayin. I mean, I guess it maybe depend who you are. But, you know, we also know in the heart of hearts, we all, I'm not saying anyone in this room or anyone on the Zoom right now, but we all know how to look without looking. We all know how to do that move when we're looking without really looking. And no one's going to know that we're looking, but we're really looking. But we're not really looking. And then we lie to ourselves. I didn't really look and I'm fine. And everything's fine. I'm totally fine. And I didn't really see the way that lady was walking. And I didn't, I'm just walking to shul and nothing happened. Nothing happened, right? Adam, nothing happened. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. It's fine. Right? We all know. I'm not, again, no one in this room would ever do that. But I'm saying we all know, right? Am I wrong? Anyone tell me? Tell me I'm wrong. Okay.
I think you're wrong.
Okay. But okay. So let's go back to see if we can finish this little piece over here. Achazal in Nida, and we see also in Nida, this is a very extreme case, but I think it's really trying to drive a point to him. Like most Divrei Chazal, sometimes they like going to the extreme cases to bring out a point. So Yashiv like koitz lamata mitaburoi, there was a thorn or a stick or a needle or something that got poked below your navel into your stomach, right? I don't know how it could happen. Maybe you were working under the sink and you were fixing something and the screwdriver fell and stabbed you, right? Pardon for getting graphic, but you know, the little blade, the box cutter you were using stabbed you right below in your stomach, right? And you want to take care of it, right? Tivaka kresai. Let your stomach be pierced. Let your guts be pierced open. Va'aliyah Russia, rather than be, and don't be called a Russia. Shah achas lifnei amakim, even for one moment in front of Hashem, right? So, it's below your navel, again, there's a lot of space below your navel and then to isomakim, right? Isomakim's on whatever, into where before you get to the aver. But once you put your hands below the navel, right, are you going to be called? Are you going to allow yourself to be called a Russia for that moment? Obviously, you need to save yourself and take care of yourself. There's no Tana or Amor that would say that you should just let yourself explode and die. But it's about the concept. It's about the process. It's about, like, how, what is the attitude supposed to be like? Yes, correct. But it's important to have this in mind as the vision. And then we're going to talk later, maybe we even outside the Sefer, of like, what are practical solutions for this kind of thing? Because like this does seem so far out of the realm of how we normally look at this stuff. I do know there was a famous documentary that I don't know about famous, but there was a documentary that came out. It was a Breslov Chassid. He was a Baal Tshuva who became Breslov in Eretz Yisrael. He was in the army and in Eretz Yisrael, and he was in the clubs. He was like one of these really party guys, and then he became Breslov. And a serious, you know, it seemed like, at least from the documentary, that he was very serious. He took Torah seriously. But because he had a history, he had like a degree in filmmaking, he decided to make a documentary on Maitzi Zera Levatala. That was
Alon and Lava.
Okay. I don't remember his name. It's possible. But this name, the name of this, it was like a 40-minute documentary. It wasn't that long.
Yeah.
He actually, that's where I first learned about people in Eretz Yisrael going up to Har Chemon to do sigufim and roll in the snow. So he, in the documentary, he goes up and he rolls in the snow. And he basically talks, I feel like he was much thinner, much more lanky, the guy in the video. But maybe it's him, I don't know. Possible. So, but he interviews a chassid in Meir Shearim. I don't remember which chassidus, could be was... Tolus Aaron. It might have been Tolus Aaron, but I don't want to say which because I don't know. But this chassid that he was interviewing was talking about how he trains their children to go to the bathroom standing up. Number one, going number one, and that they do not touch themselves. when they go to the bathroom. They do not touch themselves at all. There's no aiming. There's nothing. And the father said, yeah, and it's messy in the bathroom. That's what he said. And you know, for when the kid gets to that age, you know, where he's learning how to, you know, do this properly, it gets messy in the bathroom. We clean it and we like kind of.
Sit down.
No, because you got to stand, you got to do. I'm not saying what's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's what they were talking about. But they were very kind of, and then over time, you just learn the art of aiming without touching yourself. There's a lot of questions, but I think it's important to know that and it's interesting. So a little bit more background on this documentary. I was at the time an assistant rabbi in Light of Israel under Rabbi Mamon. It's a shul in Rochester. And the JCC over there was doing a movie festival. They did a film festival, and they showcased this film. None of the Orthodox rabbis wanted to touch this thing with a 10-foot pole. It was a little bit inappropriate. Like, why would you pick this film to showcase the entire Rochester community, Jews, non-Jews, religious? It would have been completely taken out of context. And I don't know why they called me. They had called Rabbi. They called the rabbi I worked for, and the rabbi was like, "Hey, you want to do this?" So I was like, you know, why not? Let's do it. So we watched the film, and then I watched the film earlier just to know what the film is. And then we went to this festival. We're all at this big the theater in the JCC. We watched the film, and then they did a Q&A afterwards. So they had like kind of a guy that was like moderating it. It wasn't really a debate. It was just me really answering questions about what, you know, as a local rabbi in town, how to deal with all the things. And this video was for 40 minutes, extremely extreme, rolling in the snow, talking, you know, using similar language, but like a little bit more intense than even the Nisi Shalom. You can imagine. I'm sure you've even heard it from different people in your own lives, right? The intensity that you can go with this. And people were horrified. They were horrified. So I just like inside I was panicking. I just decided, like, I'm just gonna sit back. It was like a nice, it wasn't like, you know, a regular chair. It was like these, like, studio, when they do like talk shows, it's like these really super comfortable chairs that are not actually comfortable, but they look super comfortable. So I just like leaned all the way in it. I'm like, I'm gonna be super chill and I'm gonna be calm. And I just sat there and I was like, okay. In my head, I was like, Hashem, I'm checking out of this conversation. You are taking my place and you're gonna answer these questions for everybody. And truth be told, I don't remember, like, it was just a while ago. I was like, literally, this is probably like about 10 years ago. It was about 8 years ago that this happened. And so I checked out the conversation. I was there just asking Hashem to like answer for me. And people were like, this is so terrible. This is so horrible. It's so oppressive to kids. It didn't talk at all about like women's role or anything. It was just focusing on Mitzi Zer. And I said, like, so the basic thrust of what I said is, number one, we have to understand, we have to define terms. One was like a little bit more religious. He knew Hebrew, so he was like, you know, the guy kept saying that this is rah, 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 it's bad, it's bad. And I remember like a friend of mine who was very into Kabbalah is like, really, the word rah comes from a lashon of breaking. And that essentially it doesn't mean evil. The word evil is a Christian word. So I started going on this whole thing, which I do believe is true, that the word evil is Christian. It comes from this concept of like there's an actuality of evil in the world and then good, and it's constantly warring, where we know it's not true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Malay Tov, is Malay Bracha, and Malay good, right? And that what we perceive as evil is just part of the Bechira system that exists. So, you know, Ra doesn't mean what you think it means. You're coming from the Christian angle. He didn't really like that, but he didn't have an answer. So I guess the crowd is happy with it. So like what we're just looking at is like what's breaking our relationship with Hashem? Like that's really the focus of here. That's what is bad. So what is bad is breaking relationship. And then they're like, but you know, that's not how people live, and this is really not appropriate to like force kids to live this way. So the main thing I said, and I think it applies to this also, and that's why I went on a long arichas. And if we walk away with just this point, then I think it'll be beneficial. This is a very intense Gemara we just learned. And I didn't say, I don't know, Hashem said this through my mouth to these people. So I don't know. Again, I don't know if it's MS, and maybe I'm just giving myself too much credit. I don't know. I'd actually like to hear what you guys think because I never really processed it with anybody since that happened. But I said, like, where do people learn about sex in this generation? Where are we learning it from? We're learning it from, and most often, I mean, maybe now it's better, right? Even in the Geirsfeld, right? Maybe now it's getting better. People are like more knowledgeable about, you need to have someone who's trained and like sex education. And pardon me for speaking out of turn. Like I know that there was sex education in public schools, but from the little, I have never been to public school, so I don't know what it's like in a public school. But I imagine from, I'm not saying I will neither confirm nor deny whether I watched the TV show that depicted public school, but it seems like it was a little bit Lutzonist during sex ed classes and wasn't necessarily taken as seriously. Not that there was necessarily bad information given over, but in terms of like where teens in the non-Jewish world are learning about sex, I don't know if, please correct me if I'm wrong. Am I wrong? Does anybody here know?
About sex ed in
It,
public
it,
schools?
like, is it like, is it really what's giving people a real foundation on how to deal with sexuality? Or is it just like, all right, this is the information. Here's a bunch of slides. Here's a video. The teacher's kind of a little bit out to lunch. Not always, but sometimes. And it's kind of cringy and weird. And the guys are in the back making crude jokes.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. Yeah. And the majority of your understanding comes from your peers, older siblings and peers, older
Right.
siblings,
And Hollywood.
and Hollywood, and which is the false sense of what it actually
Right. And Halavai, it's just Hollywood, right? With the
is.
advent of technology, with the advent of the internet. And this also applies in the yeshiva world. And again, this is not the yeshiva's problem, but I was exposed to pornography in yeshiva. Not the yeshiva's fault. Some kid just like said, "Hey, Adam, check this out." And he showed it to me. And like that was it. Like I saw it. Right. I know maybe I warned you guys before, I'm going to be a little bit blunt in this year, but I think it's important to keep this in mind. Like the general place we're learning, us yeshiva guys, the way we're learning about these things, where it's starting from, is like in really from inappropriate places. And Baruch Hashem, I'm like here in Chicago, we're zeichet to have mechanchim their father, there's a mahalach and there's a hadracha and they're teaching the kids correctly. But what I was telling this crowd in the JCC was most people are not learning. And again, I don't want to, my yeshiva is an incredible yeshiva. They didn't do anything wrong. And when they found out what happened, they did find out what happened. They took extreme steps and it was taken care of. Right. But again, like that's just how many kids learn about it. And I told the crowd, I said, like, maybe we should set the standard a little high. And maybe the standard is not for you. Like the Gemara sets the standard so high. And yeah, but maybe some communities, they're going to take on the mantle of doing it. And we could argue, we could say whether that's right and wrong. We could sit all day saying it's right and wrong. But how much better is it to learn from your parents? How much better is it to learn from your parents and from your community the right way to deal with this? And then maybe grow up and mature and then, do your own research and figure it out for yourself. Then to start off from such a dark place with exposure to such dark things, and then have to like undo all that education, that negative education, right? And then come to kind of find a healthy balance.
Are you familiar with the $10 school?
Here in the YTC, right? He has the big talks. He has the big talks here. Yeah, it's a lot of Rabbanim
And
have
they are
been.
hosted at shareenjoyment.com.
Sorry, say again.
Big Talks is hosted at shareenjoyment.
Oh, really? So there you go. Thank you, Jake. Big Talks hosts Sheer Enjoyment.
Hosted at shareenjoyment. His audios are there.
It's hosted on Sheer Enjoyment. Yeah, it is. It's an incredible program, and we should continue doing this. And that was my message to the crew, to the chevra, the religious, the non-Jews who came to this film festival. I was like what can happen? So you have this like really, really high level expectation. And then someone like maybe a child feels oppressed by it, and then but then you have mechanchim that are helping them navigate that. And yeah, we can talk about issues, and that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about compare that way of doing things, which might come along with its own complications, to how the rest of the world feels it's appropriate for kids to learn about it. And we talked the other day about that crazy article I saw about Netflix, that over 40% of all content on Netflix, this is like across kids content, adult, the regular content for everybody else, has over 40% has overt LGBTQ messaging in it. So there you have it. I don't know. Like, I don't know what to tell you. So what's worse? I don't know. If we have to compare, right? So I don't know. You can tell me later what you think about my answer to this JCC chevra. But I feel that's what we're doing over here. And I think it's important to have that in mind. And then from there, then we got to be like, okay, what's healthy for me? What's healthy for me and my family? And this is why, like, learning about the stuff just from like a sefer is not enough. We need to be in a chevra. You need to be talking to your Rebbe. You need to be talking to professionals, depending on what's going on, particularly in your life, according to the situation in your life. But it's important to know at least where the bar can be set. All right. Okay. So back to the Gemara, right? This is very, very serious. Let your stomach be pierced. And don't let yourself be called a Russia for one moment. And because maybe you're not going to be careful, right? When you're taking this thorn or this needle out, and you might be called a Russia. I may even know whatever that means. Going back to the first case, maybe you're going to go past the place. It's not that you are going to look at something inappropriate, but it's possible for someone to look. And even though you're closed your eyes, I know somebody who was playing music at an event and he taped his eyes shut because he didn't want to see anything. Now, turned out he didn't know who was going to be at the event. And when he realized who was going to be at the event, he was a keyboardist. When he knew who was at the event, he's like, I'm stuck. Nowhere else for me to go. So he took an extreme action and he actually taped his eyes shut and he played the whole event essentially blindfolded. But like I know it sounds crazy. They came out with, whatever, I don't want to go too much details, but people had a problem with it. And I'm like, I don't know, if you want a relationship with Hashem, if your relationship with your wife, and it's a healthy, meaningful relationship and it's going well, like, you don't want to do anything to jeopardize it. So it's the same thing. Like, if you're in a relationship with Hashem, and this is something that we know is going to definitely jeopardize that relationship because it's going to numb us. It's going to numb us from the relationship. So then, is it really crazy? Is it really crazy to, like, be extra careful? I don't know. Like, what's the most important thing in life? The most important thing in life is breaking our midos, right? Why? So that we can have a strong relationship with Hashem. And we know that Hashem created this world, right, to create a dira b'tachtonim so that he could have a relationship with us. So anything that gets in the way of that, you know, well, it's silly. Who cares? It's silly. In whose eyes is it silly? Other people? Who cares? It's you and Hashem. It's all that matters. So I think that's an interesting reframe to think about. Right? We said already. So Koshkin Makabachimer. So that's talking about somebody that's gonna control himself, right? Someone that, you know, is gonna control himself, he should still be careful. So for sure, Misha Chas Hashem, someone who Chas Hashem Matamis Ainav or Yodav Bizadan, someone who's gonna metame himself, his eyes, his hands on purpose. Shafim Yesh Biyadi Taira Mitzvah, even if he has Taira and Mitzvah in his hands, or midaktik v'kalos kivachamuris, and he's very careful on the kalos and the chamuris. Right? We're so careful, especially this generation. It's easy to be careful. We're so careful about Torah mitzvahs. But harehu, even with all that, harehu chas v'shalom b'chalal Russia, he's going to be considered a Russia. Ubavadei roi laharchiv esadibur azeh, and it is for sure fitting to continue talking about this. And to talk about this, kibakal yochel lavar al iser, because even it's very easy to be over on this iser menatayra v'lois surach levavchem, right, where it says iser atayra that we don't go after our hearts v'achrei enichem, after our eyes ve'enim meisim leva begam shavar, and we don't put our leva on this begam ulepesa chatos roivitz, and it's at the openings where sin waits, crouching. to get you. We talked about this yesterday. You're like, we're gonna go into it more, but like, yeah, maybe I'll go into it now. No, we'll go into it more because we're running out of time. We'll go into later. But you got to be ready because it's a battle. You're that soldier in Vietnam, and there's just the enemy all around. And there's just a battle. You got to be ready for Charlie, who's hiding behind every single bush. Got to be ready for that. The Peskhat is right. It's Rabbeinu Kadosh Mitzkus Yagin Aleinu. Dahainu Sharu Piska Kadma Piska Degufa. That there's the gates and the openings, and the first opening is your body. So what is this Shar? What is this talking about? Shuhu Shar Lashem Asher Tzadik Mivayvay. The tzaddikim walk through the shar. What's the shar? L'chola reitze liyos haba litar. Anyone who wants to come be matar themselves in this area of Shemir Sabriz. Shem mekadosh atzmai milamata. If they are mekadosh themselves down here in this world, makdish and oisa milmala, b'chol inyanim. Everything else becomes mekadosh. Everything else becomes holy. This is the beginning. That's why he said, what's the purpose of a yeshiva? He said the other day, what's the purpose of a yeshiva? Is to have a place that is focused on Emuna and Shmir Sabris. Oh, and also there's Torah that we learn. Emuna Bitachon and Shmir Sabris. There's the foundation. And everything else doesn't matter if you don't have those two. He said it himself. Just the last few lines. Gush Amraman Milakovich. Hashem Bitzion Godol. Hashem Bitzion Godol Veramhu Al Kol Amit. Pasuk Ketilim. Hashem is in Tzion. Gadol v'ramhu is great and uplifted. I'll call him over all the nations. Tzion gematria Yosef. Tzion is gematria Yosef. Who meets Yisrael? We talked. Yosef is going to come up a lot. He's this midah of Yisrael, which is connected to Bris Kodesh. Hashem is baruch gadol. Hashem is great. Etzel mishu shomer Bris Kodesh. Hashem will be amazing and lift you up for those who are shomer the Bris. V'ram hu al kol amim, and will raise you above everybody else. Shezei yoiser gevoya v'misha oivet l'Hashem yizbarach v'shar n'yanim. Not just other nations. When you're shomer your bris kodesh, this will lift you up. Mikol amim, from all the other n'yanim of kedusha, all the other n'yanim of what it means to be a yid. If you're focused on this, you will be zeichet to all the other things. I know we are right up to the line. Anyone have any questions, comments, thoughts before we sign off? All right, thank you very much. I apologize for any technicalities. We do have the video that was recording the entire time, and I will make sure that gets sent over to the right people right away. And shkaf kami. Tzlacha.